Who wants a bunk bed, Bill? There's never been a better time to sign up for a yearly EPP, Extra Podcast Person membership to Real Ghost Stories Online. Right now, when you become a yearly EPP, you'll get 1 month free membership to our EPP programs. You'll also be able to claim your very own Bunk Bed Bell. Plus, you'll be doing your part to help keep our show on the air.
It's amazing. It's all amazing. We feel so much better.
A show that helps thousands of people worldwide.
Thanks again for providing this outlet and making it so non-threatening.
Feel not so alone with their haunting experiences.
You guys are amazing. We listen to you all the time.
Become a yearly EPP now. Get a free month of our EPP membership and get your very own Bunk Bed Bell.
Hurry though, supplies are limited.
If you're currently a monthly EPP, then upgrade your membership now to a yearly membership and get your Bunk Bed Bell and a free month of EPP membership to Real Ghost Stories Online.
I think it's important for people to be able to have a place where they can share their experiences and validate them because these things are real.
Sign up now to be a yearly EPP at ghostpodcast.com. And thanks for your support.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. Phone number is 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost story with us. Of course, you can write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or even email your audio file. If you want to get your story to us that way, send it to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. Happy New Year, everybody. Everybody's kind of getting back into the swing of things, huh? No, it's when this is airing into kind of the first regular week of the year. You know, the last week is kind of a wash for a lot of us, where it's like not quite work week, but kind of work week, but not quite work, you know. That's out anyway. And with the new year comes new illnesses, I guess. Our little ones. We're all set to do the show today and get the call from the school of earache. Other ones kind of got a coughing thing going on. So Jenny will not be on the program today as she's attending to the little ones and picking them up from school. So hopefully that corrects itself pretty soon. It's the time of the year where this happens. You know, it is. So you got me today. Hope that's okay. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at the program to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's jump right into it and hear a real ghost story. Hi.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. It's Ray from Texas. How are you today? I've got a story about living up in Evansville, Indiana. I've told one before, a couple of them actually. I worked for an athletic club. I won't name the club, but I worked there for 28 years. And I used to work third shift. I cleaned the whole building on third shift. So I was there after 10 o'clock at night till probably like 6:30 in the morning. And then, you know, people used to ask me, how do you do that? How do you clean third shift? And there's nobody in the building but you, and you don't let your mind wander and think that there's spookies anywhere around, you know, jumping at every noise. And I told him, I said, well, you just get used to it after a while. You don't pay attention. You just get out of your system. But anyway, we had a lot of events that used to take place at that place, you know, like tennis tournaments, racquetball tournaments. We had some groups that would rent out the place at night on New Year's Eve or, you know, and the kids would come in and have a little a stayover deal at night, you know, like a lock-in. The one time, I guess, there was a lock-in and some of the kids were sleeping in the what we call the kids' club area, nursery area. And one of the kids had brought a Ouija board, apparently. I had no idea because I wasn't there at the time. But I was told later on that these two, his brother and sister, brought a Ouija board in and they were using it in the nursery. So that explains a lot for what I'm about to tell you. Not only I, but several of the workers that had to be there late at night would complain and say they were hearing things. You know, we'd hear whispering voices, things shutting, closing, that shouldn't have been closing and shutting. Now, there was an ice machine. So there was a lot of stuff that I got to where my ear was attuned to the ice machine. So if the ice machine made a noise and dropped a load of ice, I knew what that was. But we had a lot of doors. And we had a lot of stuff go on. We had a lot of people hearing stuff, like voices. One night I was in there. It was on Saturday morning. It was probably around probably 4 in the morning or something. And I had been on the indoor tennis courts. There were 4 indoor tennis courts inside, and I used to have to go around. We had those little igloo coolers. One to each tennis court, and we had like those little caddies for trash and whatnot. And one of my duties was to go around at night and collect all the trash up and put new fresh water and ice in each one of the coolers. So I was out there doing it like probably 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning, and something had upset me. I think somebody from the shift hadn't done something that they should have done, which happened quite a bit. And I wasn't feeling too happy about it. So I come through there and I was just in the tennis court and just cussing up a storm, I think, that day. And all of a sudden there was, you have to understand, there's nothing in there. There's no one but me. There are no TVs, no nothing, no noise, no radio, nothing. So you can just deduct all that possibility, right? So I'm in there getting pissed off and shouting and screaming. And all of a sudden, after I calmed down, I heard this voice say, it was a female voice, and she said, "What are you talking about?" And I'm like, "Holy shit, what is that?" You know, I'm like, the hair on the back of my neck raised up, and needless to say, I went into fight or flight mode, and I went through the whole building looking everywhere to make sure there was no shenanigans going on in that place. There was no one but me in there, and there was no one there. Nothing, nobody, no how. So, you know, it was, you couldn't explain that away. It was very audible, and it sounded like it was coming from a part of the tennis court, but there was nobody there. And I heard it, and it's a female. She said, "What are you talking about?" I thought, "Hello?" So I went through the round of, "Hello? Hello? Is anybody there? Hello?" Nobody there. So that was one of the situations, and, you know, I felt really odd. Now, I've been working a long time, third shift, and it never bothered me. But somewhere after the Ouija board incident, I guess, is all of this stuff started happening. And you go through to the fitness center to shut lights off, and you'd hear whispering, like people talking with each other. So, you know, you hear little audible voices. And then I always got a creepy vibe going into the, when I had to clean the carpets. If I had to go in there and clean the carpet at night with the carpet machine, especially when I went into the nursery, you know, this is before I found out about the Ouija board incident. I noticed I was getting a creep, because then I'm a little sensitive. I won't say I'm big time sensitive, but I'm a little sensitive. And my problem was I used a Ouija board when I was younger, in my 20s, and it was an idiotic thing to do, and I got obsessed with it, and that's a whole different story. So I had some past situations going on there, but I was always sensitive anywhere I go to anything that happens, it comes out at me. So I kept feeling this weird vibe in the nursery, and I couldn't figure out why I was getting this weird vibe. It was like a creepy vibe. I didn't want to be in there very long to do anything, and I sure to hell wanted all the lights on for some reason, and I wasn't like that kind of person, you know. I didn't care if I was in a light or darkness. But I'd be in there, and I wanted to get my work done as quick as I could and get the hell out of that spot. I don't know. And then I found out about the Ouija board incident with the kids. But these are little incidents that happen, you know. And one night I was working on the whirlpools. I had to clean the whirlpools. So I were, like, on a rotating shift at the time, you know, at night. And I had just drained everything out, scrubbed everything out, cleaned the filters. And I was putting the water back in, running the water back into the system, blowing the pool up. And I heard, now I know that spirits will, if I understand right, will take energy, ambient energy, anything they can to manifest in some way. I really believe it was taking the sound from the trickling of the water. Now, that if you think about it, that's kind of an energy in itself. It's a little bit of an energy. But they can use this sound to build on, you know, with vocally. While I was in there doing something else while it was filling up, and as I was concentrating doing my business, I heard this man say, "You dirty son of a bitch." It came out. You can imagine. I'm like, and I've gone through some stuff about, you know, in that building at this time, and I told this, whoever it was, I said, "Listen here, I put up with enough shit with everybody else that works here. I'm not going to take yours." That's exactly what I said, and I didn't hear anything else after that. It was funny, you know. I don't know what that was about. Well, that was one of the little things that happened, and we'd see things moving in there that shouldn't have been moving once in a while, and you'd hear doors opening that shouldn't have been open, you know. I even saw a door open in front of me one time, and it wasn't anything to do with the heating and air conditioning either. So there was all kinds of stuff, and eventually I just got used to it, and they never hurt me or troubled me at all. I never got any bother from them. I'd hear someone talk once in a while, and even heard one being nice to me one time and telling me that the whirlpool was overflowing. I was actually down the hallway, and I heard a woman's voice telling me, "Your whirlpool is overflowing." And literally, I ran, oh crap, I ran all the way down there, and sure enough, it was starting to overflow. You know, I'd forgotten to shut the water off. I had a timer, and my timer wasn't working that day. So I went down there, shut everything off, and had to mop everything up. Of course, we have drains, floor drains in there. But I just thought I'd share some of those little things that happened at the club. I'll probably have more stories to tell you about this, the spooks at the club, the ghosts at the club. Y'all have a great day now, okay? Love your show. Keep it up.
Bye-bye. Thank you for sharing that with us. At least it keeps the workplace lively, you know? I think the biggest thing for me working that late at night was always just trying to stay awake. And then trying to have a life outside of it, or like then go back to normal hours during the weekend or something like that. Yeah, working overnights in radio, that was it was a nightmare. I know what it's like. And it sometimes almost, you know, some would say, well, that's a good window of time for you know, if you are really tired to think you're hearing things or seeing things. But no, I mean, some of that, most of that of what he just shared there, in fact, all of that really. Obviously, something far beyond just being too tired. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like our program, help us stay on the air. Become an EPP, extra podcast person. You sign up for that at ghostpodcast.com. You can sign up right through the website, or you can now do through Patreon as well, if you like Patreon. So you can be an EPP either way. $5 a month is where the membership levels start. That gets you access to all the bonus material. And goes up from there. You can sign up for a yearly EPP membership. There's some extra perks associated with that through our website. And Patreon has a couple levels as well with some extra perks as well. So check all that out. And help support this thing, and we can keep doing it. Let's go to another caller. Hi, you are on the air. Let's hear your ghost story.
Hi, my name's Steven. I'm actually a brand new listener. I just stumbled across your podcast this week, and I wanted to call, and I have many, many stories through my life, but I think I'll start with probably the most terrifying one, at least in my eyes as a father. I'm a father of four. This actually revolves around my oldest two children, starting with my son, who is 13. But this actually started when he was about a year old. We moved into an apartment, his mother and I, and even before he could really talk, there was always times where he would just seem to just kind of stare off into space, and then he would just randomly just burst into tears and cry for no reason. I also would have just overwhelming senses of dread and would have visions of seeing people who had died, but, you know, just shrugged it off to just being silly, you know, just trying to just think, you know, reading too much into it, you know, you're just got a wild imagination, just calm down. But as he progressed and got older, things, you know, got more intense. Like, he would have toys that were only motion activated that would go off in the middle of the night when there was no one in rooms. When he got to be about 18 months old, 2 years, when he really did start talking, or 18 months old to 2 years old, when he really did start talking and started talking in full sentences, we would be playing with him, having him on the bed or in the floor, you know, tickling his belly, saying, "I'm going to get you. I'm going to get your belly." And he would set up, you know, just stone cold stare in his face and be completely flushed, white, and go, "He's going to get you, Daddy." I look at him, "Who's going to get me, bub?" "That mean man, Daddy. That mean man's going to get you." And he'd be pointing behind me, and there'd be nobody there. And that happened a lot. Well, we eventually moved into a duplex. Thought, okay, you know, whatever's there is going to stay there. No, we weren't even into the new place a week. And a picture of him actually flew off the nightstand, or not some sort, not nightstand, but end table, and landed in the floor. That's when I knew, okay. Well, my wife was also pregnant, my ex-wife was also pregnant at the time with his sister. Well, she was born, things kind of just died out for a while. Things were nothing really happened. Well, one night I started a split shift at work, and I came home, and it was about 1 o'clock in the morning. She had been up with our daughter, who had a slight cold, but she was about a year old at the time. And she had been up with her and waiting for me to get home. Well, she came home, I, you know, always, every night, would always do a quick check around the house, make sure all the doors are locked, windows are shut, everything's, you know, locked and secured. And then we went to bed. We always left our bedroom door open. And both kids at the time were still small. One, my daughter in her crib, my son would sleep with us. And we always left our bedroom door open so my son could go to the bathroom, which was right across the hall. And we had the hallway light on. And I just sat down on the bed and turned to look at the bedroom door, and that's when I saw him. His full body, head to toe, solid, not see-through, not smoke, not, you know, smoky, see-through. I saw a man with black hair who looked like a greaser from the 50s. He had a white t-shirt on with a cigarette pack rolled up in his sleeve, a pair of blue jean pants with the cuff at the bottom, and he had like Converse style tennis shoes on. Well, I saw him walk past the bedroom, and I kind of did a double take, and I heard what room was supposed to be my son's room, which was a toy room. I heard his bedroom door open and close. But I knew nobody was in the house, and I checked even the closets. I would always check. Nobody was in the house. And, well, a few years later, I mean, things were, you know, see things here and there off and on. My ex-wife always thought I was crazy. Well, fast forward about 4 years. About 2 years. My ex-wife and I, we had separated at that time. I actually was engaged to my now wife. And we were traveling, and we were riding separate. My daughter was riding with me, and I heard her talking to somebody. I heard her talking. It was really late at night. Actually, it was Christmas Eve. And I looked at her. I was like, "Honey, who are you talking to?" She goes, Mitch. I'm like, okay, I think an imaginary friend, Mitch. I'm like, oh, really? I'm like, what? I was like, well, what's Mitch like? And she got real quiet, real kind of somber. And I'm like, well, what is it, baby? She goes, Daddy. She goes, you can't tell him, but Mitch is a mean man. And instantly, all this of my son just came flooding back to me. I'm like, mean man? I'm like, okay. My wheels started spinning. I'm like, what does this man look like? What does Mitch look like? She goes, Daddy, he's got a real, real ugly face. He always wears a plain shirt and pants and, like, jeans, describing exactly the man that I saw. I never did see his face because I just caught his profile as he was passing. I never saw his face for long. And she goes, I see him everywhere. I see him at our house, at Mama and Papa's, at Mommy's house. I see him everywhere. He was just here in the car with me talking to me and saying, Daddy, or he was saying, she goes, Daddy, he was saying to me that tomorrow we're going to get his wings. I'm like, what? And to this day, I still don't know what this means, because the very next chance we had, we actually went to church and had her prayed over by the elders and the pastor of our church, and she never mentioned Mitch again. But whatever it was attached to my kids and followed us from one place to another. And finally, I think we broke the cycle, because my youngest two daughters, who are 5 and 2 now, have never mentioned anything about him or anything like that, or seen anything like that. Like you said, I really hope you can use this and look forward to possibly hearing on an upcoming show. Thank you so much for everything you do. I think it's a really awesome concept, and I definitely will call in with more stories. Have a great day.
Thank you for sharing that with us. There's nothing more horrifying, I think, than the idea of something, you know, someone is what I would say, but something communicating with your children that you can't see or you can't communicate with, and you have no control over what it is saying to your children. That in itself is horrifying. And then when you realize it's a ghost and it's one that's followed both of your kids and it's not saying good things, almost semi-threatening things, that is truly horrifying. Thank you for sharing that with us. I can't imagine going through that as a parent. Hi, let's hear your real ghost story.
Hi, so I don't know if this constitutes a ghost story or not, but I do need a little advice and help at the end of it. So my whole life, my friends who are close to me have noticed, too, there's this thing about the 26, the number 26 of me. For example, my birthday, my mom's birthday, different months, 26. You know, my boyfriend got arrested on the 26th. The officer that arrested him was badge number 26. When I went to college, I was in dorm building 26. So countless things. So my best friend Dominic, I'm telling him all these things. We're in the car one day, and he's like, yeah, right, okay, whatever. So I'm like, Dominic, keep hanging out with me long enough, you'll see. No sooner those words come out of my mouth, a big, you know, 18-wheeler truck goes by, and on the back, it was truck number 26. So I elbowed him, and I'm like, see? He said, all right, I wasn't going to say anything because that was weird. So last year, Dominic died. He died in a house fire, and he was in Barcelona at the time, and I couldn't go to the funeral, obviously. So back here in New Jersey, we all had a memorial for him. So we all got together, and we ended up going to the casino. So we walk into the casino, and I'm like, I want to play roulette. That's my game. So we walk up to the table, and before we even lay down a bet, they drop the ball, and the ball rolls, and it's number 26. And I'm like, oh, I say to my friends, like, I should have known. That's my number, number 26. That's my number. So I bet on, like, black and odds or something like that. So they drop the ball, and number 26 pops up again. And I'm like, what? What are the odds? What are the odds that the number 26, my number, would pop up 2 times in a row, the first table I walk up to, the first 2 numbers that I see? And then it hits me. I'm like, this is Dominic. If this is Dominic, we're here for his memorial. If this is Dominic, I say in my head, it's going to happen again. It's going to happen a third time. And I say to myself, Dominic, if this is you, make it happen again. And I put like $1, you know, minimum bet on 26 just to see if it would happen. I didn't want to push my luck. And wouldn't you know, the number 26 came up again. For a third time in a row, that number came up again. What are the odds of that happening? So I really believe that that was Dominic's way of saying hello, and it gets me really emotional. But since then, my other best friend died this past October 8th, actually, so it's just been a year. And I haven't heard anything from him. So my question is, and my advice that I need is, like, how – I'm scared. I'm scared of ghosts. I'm scared of ghost stuff. Like, I won't go into a alleged haunted house if it's nighttime. I'll go in during the daytime, but and I keep asking my friends to come visit me, Dominic and my friend Jack, and countless friends of mine are dead, and I keep asking them to visit me, and I think that they know that I'm scared, that I don't want to see them, but I want to hear from them somehow. So my question is, like, am I not open enough, or will they not visit me? Like, do other people have experience with this? Like, in 20 years, will I finally get a message from them? Because I do want to hear something from them. I want to communicate, and I do try, but I don't know if I'm blocked emotionally. I don't know. So thanks for letting me share my story. Any advice would be greatly appreciated. All right, thanks very much. I love your podcast. Just found you recently. All right, thanks very much. Bye-bye.
Thank you for taking the time to share that emotional story with us here on the program. I think to answer your question, ghosts don't communicate on demand. That's at least it's very rare for that to happen, and rare for it to happen, number one. Number two, even more rare to have the person that you're reaching out to be the one responding on the other end. I'd be very, very cautious, and I understand your desire to want to communicate with them or to get a sign or something, but, you know, my personal opinion of this is they may not be in a place where they can give you a sign. And not saying they're in a bad place or anything like that, but they may have moved on to a different area, a different realm where the communication just isn't available. I think for some, the communication is there, and for others, it is not. And it's not really up to us, or it's beyond anyone's control to say where that person is going to be or that ghost is going to be at. So the other thing is, I'd be very, very cautious, like I said, about reaching out to the other side in wanting to contact someone, because you may end up getting in contact with something that is not your friend, posing as your friend, and that could lead to a lot of bad things. Okay? Put that lightly. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hello, let's hear a story.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Emily from Texas. I was calling in because I have quite a few stories. I've been a listener for a little bit now, and I'm slowly chiseling through the more past episodes. Enjoy them all so far. So I live in a small East Texas town right outside of Jefferson, Texas. You might know it. It's pretty notorious for being a haunted ghost town. And so obviously a couple Halloweens ago, my ex-boyfriend and my sister and I went on the Jefferson Ghost Walk, which was really what you would expect. lots of history about the town. It's a very old antique town. And you go through all these different buildings and historic, markers of the town. And they explain all the hauntings and sightings and everything. And so we get started. It's about a probably about an hour and a half walk, and you're walking the whole time, so it takes a little bit, I guess, depending on how fast the group is. But we got maybe not even a quarter of the way into the walk, and we stop at this, I wouldn't even know what you would call it, but it was three older, like, colonial-style homes that were eventually businesses that have been through this, that, and the other. The tour guide is speaking about the lady of one of the houses that has thrown herself off the balcony and is explaining this lady in excruciating detail. Like, I could see her visibly in my mind, and, we're all standing around kind of in a circle, and, you know, my sister is kind of wandering around, and I'm standing there with my boyfriend listening, and, I just happened to catch a glimpse out of the corner of my eye. I saw a woman described just as the lady described her, to the T, dress, everything, period-style clothing. She walks through the crowd
just kind of like, we're standing in a circle, mind you, and she just kind of cuts through the circle, and I don't see her midway through, and I see her start into it, but midway through she disappears, and so I'm looking to where she might come out, and she never came out. I didn't see her disappear or anything, but it's like she walked halfway into the circle and vanished. That was really the only thing I saw. However, my boyfriend didn't believe me at the time. He's obviously a skeptic, but other people on the tour guide did see some things, caught some things on camera, what have you. We had actually an investigator with us as well. I think if you ever get a chance, come to the East Texas area. It's definitely something to check into. It's very haunted if you haven't heard about it. Anyways, I'll call in with more stories later. Thanks.
Thank you for sharing that with us. It's nothing like going on a good ghost tour and actually having something happen. That's legitimate. You know, there's a lot of ghost tours that you can go on these days where it's, and now if you take pictures right here, it's outside and there's like a lamp and every single person who gets their camera out, because of the angle that the camera is at, it produces orbs on screen, but it's not real orbs. It's just light refractions. And a lot of people say they get orbs on their cameras here. Yeah, it's called a light refraction. That's just frustrating me about a lot of ghost tours where they kind of play up things that are not ghosts. And then, you know, I guess it's kind of fun. You can go home and show your friends these pictures. Look, we're on a ghost tour. We got these orbs. And they don't know any different, but you do. But every once in a while, there's a good ghost tour out there that really, you know, can take you some places. And I don't even want to see ghosts. I don't even need to see ghosts in a ghost tour for it to be good. Just a good storyteller and a good setting. That's all I want, you know? 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your experiences with us. That wraps up today's episode of the program. If you like it, keep us on the air. Become an EPP, Extra Podcast Person. That stands for. Go to ghostpodcast.com and sign up through the website there. Or you can even do it through Patreon. Two different ways to become an EPP now. Ghostpodcast.com. That's what supports this thing. That's what allows us to keep Real Ghost Stories Online alive. Until next time, for Jenny Brusky, I'm Tony Brusky. Thank you for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.